This passage from Mark is often a hard one for us to hear, not just because we're awaiting our divine wet willy, like the deaf guy in the second half, but because of the first half of this passage. It is so very disturbing, right, to hear Jesus deny this woman the healing he seeks for her daughter, and to call her a dog. Many have tried to soften this passage. There are people who say things like, oh, Jesus is calling her a puppy. It's a cute little term of endearment. But even as much as I am a fan of creative readings of scripture, that one is a real stretch. The Greek is pretty clear. Jesus is calling this woman a little bitch. It's a term as offensive as it was, as offensive today as it was back then. It is hateful and it is ugly. And while it's probably not appropriate to call it racist, as our terms of race are much more modern, it's clearly a term that Jesus chooses based on this woman's gender and her ethnicity. So let's just call it sexist and xenophobic. There are a lot of ways to debate what this means, right? Is Jesus, supposedly the sinless one, really giving into the sin? And it is sin. We read that today in James. Is he giving into the sin of showing partiality based on social location or identity? The answer, if we stay true to the text, is pretty clearly yes. Putting aside for the moment the question of what that does to your theology, let's look at what happens next. Because perhaps even more surprising than what Jesus says is what this woman does. Instead of turning around, rebuffed by being called an awful, hurtful name, she comes back with a statement that turns Jesus's word back on itself, claiming space for herself and for her daughter at God's table. Call me what you will, she says. I am not going anywhere until I have wrestled my blessing from you. So why do I feel compelled to linger on what many understand correctly to be a disturbing text? It's because today, in many places, and especially in the lead up to November's elections, I'm seeing more and more heated rhetoric, more and more hurtful epithets, more and more spiteful labels, more and more name calling. Let me be clear. Free and fair debate on the issues is good for democracy. Candidates for every office, from PTA president to senator to president of the country, all candidates should be questioned on their record, their policy, what they plan to do, and how they plan to do it. What's not good for democracy is arguing that anyone's identity makes them less worthy, less American, or less human. And I would actually argue that it's not just bad for democracy, it is bad for us morally and spiritually. As I said earlier, the epistle we read today, James, pretty unequivocally states that when we show partiality, we are committing sin. James reminds us that our call is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And here the letter is pretty focused on social and class differences. James is thinking, you shall love your poor neighbor, your rich neighbor, your same as you kind of neighbor, because that was the big social division of that day. But God's command doesn't stop there. God's command means that you shall love your Republican neighbor, your Democrat neighbor, your Green Party neighbor, your Libertarian neighbor as yourself. You shall love your white neighbor, your black neighbor, your Latine neighbor, your immigrant neighbor, and your birther neighbor. You should love them, too, as yourself. I want to remind you, too, that last week Jesus told us that it is not what goes into the body that defiles us, but what comes out. Your words matter. What you say matters, in part because your words create and shape the reality that we all live in. And your words can prevent someone from receiving. They can even prevent someone from seeking the healing and wholeness that is theirs by right as one of God's beloved creatures. And let's be honest, right? The name-calling in our day is not always as egregious or as easy to spot. We have to give Jesus credit. He is very upfront and very clear about where his prejudices lie. But slander is slander, even when it is pitched at a dog whistle, and it is not love. The other thing, though, that Jesus does that is something we should commend and actually seek to emulate is that Jesus lets himself be challenged, and he lets himself be changed. He hears this woman come back at him with a sharp retort, and for whatever reason, we might call it open-mindedness or ego security, in the church we actually call it repentance, he accepts that she has verbally outmaneuvered him. He changes his heart, and he changes his mind, and he changes what he does. He gives to her what she wants, what is hers by right, which is healing and wholeness for her family. This movement is so incredibly powerful. In years, in millennia to come, people will look back at this moment as the moment when Jesus' ministry goes from being this like local news story, salvation for this very tiny group of people, to a matter of global importance, a message of consequence for all of us. People will also point out in years to come that it's not Jesus who is the hero in this moment, but the woman who challenged him, the woman who grew his understanding by calling him to repent. They'll say, like I'm saying to you now, that the good that Jesus offers us in this passage is a model of how to stick in a difficult conversation, to allow your mind to be changed and challenged, and how to emerge gracefully, and more importantly, changed profoundly on the other end of it. Again, what you say matters. And what is being said these days in so many places is just as ugly as what Jesus says to this woman. It is often based on the same kind of prejudice and fear. It is frequently just as sexist, if not more so, and just as xenophobic. But if the Son of God can change his mind, change his heart, and change how he speaks, so can you. In years to come, how will people remember this moment? What will you be remembered for? Again, I say to you, it is not what goes into your body that defiles you, but what comes out. So consider this today your divine wet willy. Not always a comfortable experience, but one that opens you up, opens you to change and to new life. May your ears be open to hear. May your tongue be released to speak plainly and lovingly. Amen.